All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship, our community outreach. This is a live teleservice. We're in our series, How to Survive in the Kingdom of God. The message today is Making the Move to the Kingdom of God. It is August 8, 2021. And I'm Dr. Mary Craig. Okay, August 8th is today's date. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus' life, his life of radical, personal, perfect, perpetual obedience, even to obedience on the cross. We thank you, God, that Jesus Christ bore the penalty for our sin, satisfying divine justice. We thank you, Lord God, that Jesus Christ's work on the cross is accomplished. It is a finished work. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again the third day, that he sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty. And we thank you, Lord, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ruler over the kings of this earth. We thank you, Lord, that you have sent the Holy Spirit, Lord, and we ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of the Word, and Lord, to come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to reveal Jesus Christ to us and truth, Lord. And we thank you, God. We ask that the Holy Spirit come in grace and in great power, and Lord, sort out for people who you are, that you are one in being and at the same time in three distinct persons, one God in being and in three distinct persons. And we give you the praise for it, and we give you the glory, Lord. And you are holy, and you are sovereign. And the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're in a series on how to survive in the kingdom of God. We want to examine the precepts and principles that govern the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. First, it's necessary to see and enter this kingdom and then make the move. Are we willing to be made whole? Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So I want to tell you as plainly as I can what Jesus came to do and all that he has accomplished in his atoning work. His work is finished, so far as sacrifice is concerned. Today, Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding and ruling. He is prophet, priest, and king, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as we talk about this, I encourage you to receive Jesus, learn of him, believe in him, and believe him, so that you might obey the gospel and see that it truly is good news. First, let's talk about Christ's body. And let's listen to some scriptures concerning the accomplishments of Christ's body, those places in scripture where Jesus' body is offered up in sacrifice to God. For example, in Romans 7, verses 4 to 6, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law, through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to it, to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. That's Romans 7, verses 4 to 6, New King James Version. The law is holy, spiritual, and good, but it cannot give life. The Holy Spirit is the life producer, the life maker. Believers are to bear the fruit of righteousness in the kingdom of God. Colossians 1, 21 and 22, and you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach or beyond reproach in his sight. And that's Colossians 1, verses 21 and 22, New King James Version. So we've already been declared holy, blameless, and beyond reproach or above reproach. That's a declaration. We've been justified. Jesus dying the just for the unjust. And we take on the garment of righteousness, of Christ's righteousness. And we are declared holy, blameless, and without reproach in a declarative sanctification. Then we have a progressive sanctification because that is the Holy Spirit's job description, and that is to take what has been declared and make it so. So we are to be holy as God is holy, and the Holy Spirit's job is to make us holy, make that so, and he is doing that in a progressive manner. And so sometimes we wonder why we're going through certain things, and that's why. So let's not have to go around the mountain and around the mountain and around the mountain. Let's ask the Holy Spirit what we are to learn and know, and the changes that we have to make, because God does not change. We all changes on our part. All right, in Hebrews 10, verses 5 to 10, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. That's the reason Jesus came. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time, never needing to be repeated. Hebrews 10, 5 through 10. So in that passage, it's not once for all people, it is once for all time. It never had to be repeated. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, in order that we might die to sin and live for righteousness, by whose wounds or whose stripes you have been healed. Now let's consider Christ's blood, his sacrificial death. Acts 20, verse 28, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, the ecclesia, which he purchased with his own blood. Acts 20, verse 28. Romans 3, 24 to 26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Romans 3, verses 24 to 26. Romans 5, 8 through 10. But God proves his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from wrath through him? For if, when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? And that is Romans 5, 8 through 10 from the Berean Study Bible. So we know from Romans 5, verse 9, that true believers have been justified, pardoned, and constituted righteous by Jesus' blood, the voluntary substitutionary offering of himself in the place and for the benefit of those given to him by the Father. Jesus was sent by the Father to save. He was likewise sent to bear witness to the truth. Ephesians 1, verses 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Ephesians 1, 7 to 8, Berean Study Bible. Here Paul attaches directly to redemption, virtually as a synonym, the forgiveness of sin. In Ephesians 2, we find out that since we were dead in trespasses and sin, we find out that we were dead in trespasses and sin, but as true believers, we are made alive in Christ. We are saved by grace through faith, which is the gift of God and not of works. So even this faith is a gift. Repentance is also a gift. Ephesians 2, 12 and 13. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2, 12 and 13. So Gentile Christians who were once far away have been brought near to Christ, to citizenship in Israel, to all the benefits of the covenants of the promise, to hope and to God himself by the blood of Christ. Okay, and so we need to know that this is what's called in Ephesians one new man, so that in Christ all the barriers are broken, they are broken down, the barriers for coming to Christ. What Christ did provides access into the Holy of Holies. Access. So God is now accessible because Jesus Christ has done the work on the cross to make the sacrifice of himself for sin in our place and to open that, to rent that veil of separation, and we can go in by the blood of the Lamb. We are clothed with his righteousness. And so now, Jew and Gentile, and a Gentile is anyone who is not Jewish. And Romans 4 also, remember, tells us who is the true Jew. Okay, so what can we learn from Colossians chapter 1? Well, we learn that God was pleased through Christ to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And in Hebrews chapter 9, we find that Christ entered the most holy place once for all time through his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption, and that the blood of Christ will cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death or from dead works, so that we might serve the living God. That's a very important thing in Colossians chapter 1. that the blood of Christ cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. A lot of times we feel guilty and we have all this stuff and we have to work through it. And we have to realize what Jesus Christ has done and the power of his sacrifice to cleanse our conscience, not just cover sin in the atoning work, but to cleanse our conscience. We are made clean by the words which Jesus speaks. He said so himself. We are told in 1 Peter chapter 1 that God's elect were chosen for sprinkling by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ's death is a sacrificial death, fulfilling the Old Testament type of sacrifice in which the blood of bulls and goats was regularly sprinkled on the persons and objects to be cleansed. It is by his precious blood, Jesus' precious blood, that we are redeemed from a former empty way of life. We know that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. From the book of Revelation, we know Jesus loved us and loosed us or freed us from our sin by his own blood. Christ purchased for God by his blood people from every tribe and language and people and nation or ethnic group and made them for God a kingdom and priests that they will reign on the earth. And that settles the racism issue. It's not so. I mean, it's not with God. I don't know. Think it through. Think that one really through, what Jesus accomplished. And go tell it on the mountain. Now let's consider the cross. What about the accomplishments of the cross? What do we learn from Scripture about that? We learn that God has reconciled both Jews and Gentiles in one body to God through the cross. And then he put to death God's enmity by or on it, and that Christ made peace through the blood of the cross. In fact, we know from Colossians chapter 2 that God canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it fast to the cross, and having disarmed rulers and authorities, he exposed them publicly, triumphing over them by it. And a great spectacle. I wrote, one of the articles I've written is about the spectacle of God. God loves spectacles, and nobody does a spectacle better than the living God. You just think about that, a big spectacle. And just as an aside, you can go to marycraig.org, and if you do a search on spectacle, the devil doesn't like this. it should come up. Okay, spectacle. I love it. All right, Jesus' death. What did Jesus accomplish in his death or by his death? Well, Romans 5 tells us that while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Again, from Colossians, once we were alienated and enemies in our minds, as shown by evil works. But now God has reconciled us through Christ's death to present us holy and unblemished and blameless in his sight. It was through the suffering of death that we see Jesus, Hebrews 2 tells us, being crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God on behalf of all, he might taste death. For it was fitting for God in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through suffering, and also that Christ shared in our humanity in order that through his death, now listen carefully because this is Hebrews 2 verses 14 and 15, I think, to perfect the author of their salvation through suffering, and also that Christ shared in our humanity in order that through his death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. And it's a destruction work of Christ. And the power word there is kratos in the Greek. So it has to do with the governing dominion. The devil lost the kratos. Like, you know this word because democracy, rule, you know, by the people. Autocracy is self-rule. Theocracy is God rule. And so this Jesus rules. He is ruler over the kings of this earth. And he destroyed the kratos. He destroyed him that has the kratos or had the kratos. He destroyed through his death all the influence of Satan and everything. Satan is destined for the lake of fire. We know that Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant in order that by means of death as a ransom, he sets free from the trespasses under the first covenant, the ones that have been called, that they might receive the promises of the eternal inheritance. So we know that Christ dying produces many seeds that while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were enemies as sinners, Christ died for us. We have to think about this. We're not just, oh, well, you know, I made mistakes. I didn't mean it. God will just overlook it. Blah, 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 which I've heard preached before. Oh, God just overlooks anything I do because he knows I just make a mistake. Now you sin, but I just make mistakes and, you know, and whatever. No, we are all sinners. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. And we were enmity, not just enemies. We were enmity. We were, like it says, if there's like a life-dominating sin, we call people by that name. If their life-dominating sin is lying, we call them liars. They just lie when they don't even have to lie. They can be identified by the sin and the iniquity that controls everything, everything about them. It's a life-dominating sin. And we were enmity. We were by nature the children of wrath. And in that estate of sin and misery, Christ died for us. In fact, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. He died for all true believers in order that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, why did Christ die? 1 Thessalonians 5:10 declares that Christ died for us in order that we may live with him. His whole life work was considered one righteous act of obedience, as we're told in Romans 5, verses 18 and following. One righteous act. Jesus' obedience was an active obedience. He lived a life we cannot earn and do not deserve. He paid the penalty for sin to meet the just requirements of the most holy and sovereign God. He was dead and buried, but rose again from the dead on the third day, demonstrating that the Father accepted Jesus' offering of himself on behalf of those for whom Jesus died. Jesus is the Beloved. True believers are in Christ, in the Beloved. Jesus ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God Almighty, interceding and ruling as sovereign Savior. He is coming again in power and great glory. First, the kingdom comes in grace. When Jesus comes again, he is coming again in power and great glory. At that time, the kingdom comes in power and great glory. In his atoning work, Jesus overcame guilt and liability by a big word, expiation. Overcame alienation by reconciliation. Overcame bondage by redemption. Overcame the wrath of God by propitiation. And overcame the kingdom of darkness by the defeat of Satan through the destruction work of atonement. So with going through this, and some of you have known this that listen to this, and some of you may not have, this is why I keep going over. Why do I keep going over? Because, first of all, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about the gospel of money here. When people say, oh, give money so I can go out and preach the gospel, and then we don't hear them preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I've just given to you is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the good news of what Jesus accomplished through his life, through his death on the cross. He was buried. He rose again from the dead, the resurrection. And he ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming back. The gospel of Jesus Christ. So I hope we have learned more about Jesus so that we can believe in Jesus, believe Jesus, and believe what Jesus believes. And so now I want to pray. What I want to do here. But let's pray that we be granted grace to obey this good news of the gospel and to put into practice the principles that bring life. This is why Jesus died, that we might live in him, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So let's ask for God's grace and power to make the move and let the Lord make us whole. God will move us. He moves us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, from that realm of darkness, from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That's how it is put in the scripture. And so that happens as we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And in our lives, we receive him into our hearts, in our lives. And in that process, that's the transition. We are translated into the kingdom of God's dear son, the kingdom of God, or as Matthew calls it in Matthew, the kingdom of heaven. And we make the move, and we need to let the Lord make us whole. God makes the move so that when we are truly saved, no matter what our background has been, there's a change that happens. It's a significant change. Our eyes are open, our ears are open. We see the world differently. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. Jesus Christ says that he lives in us. He lives and abides in us. And the Father comes to live within us. One God in essence, in his being, three in person. In closing, I just want to have you consider rejection. You know, we've all experienced rejection as we have lived long enough, sometime in our life, and we know how painful it is. In fact, I often think of what it does to the heart, kind of like taking your heart over a cabbage grater. That's how I express it. That's how it feels. You're just like a bleeding soul. And yet Jesus Christ endured our judicial rejection by God so that we don't have to experience the ultimate rejection, which is rejection by God himself. We have judicial acquittal. That's the work of Christ in propitiation, of taking the wrath of God against everything that is contrary to God's nature and ways. He takes the wrath of God on himself. And he endured that judicial rejection as part of satisfying divine justice by God. Jesus' atonement was an actual atonement. It wasn't imaginary. It wasn't hypothetical. It was a sacrificial death in which Jesus Christ vicariously bore the curse that we deserve. And he did that in our place. And he did that for us. He paid our debt. He endured this judicial rejection by God, and he died our death, the death we deserve. He actually accomplished and procured everything we need for salvation. All of salvation is about getting back to the Father. That's what it's all about. That was broken with Adam's sin that put us into this estate of sin and misery. And salvation is about getting back to the Father, doing everything. And we might say that through his sacrifice, he overcame guilt and liability. And through the cross, he made reconciliation possible. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He overcame alienation. We were alienated from God until the atonement of Jesus Christ that brought our reconciliation. We were guilty until that sacrifice was made. Because in the Old Testament, the atoning work that was made had to be repeated. It was a covering. The atonement covered, but it didn't cleanse. We would know the wrath of God were it not for the propitiation work of Christ on the cross. We would remain in bondage until and unless Jesus Christ redeemed us. And that redemption was accomplished by the cross work of Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of evil found its destruction in the cross work of Christ, that we might enter into the kingdom of God. So we make the move. It's some people, you know, pray the prayer and think that life is good, but when life is really good, you'll know it. It's a change, and you will absolutely know it. There won't be any, I don't believe there's any doubt about it. And you can't go back. You don't go back and be unsaved. If you're a true believer, you can't go back and truly be an unbeliever again. You're going to cooperate. If you want your life to go well, you cooperate with the program, as I say, call it, the program of sanctification. And you thank God because of all that the Father has given him, Jesus says he will lose none. He's not going to lose you. You can experience what's called technically fatherly displeasure, but we are preserved by the preserving power of the Holy Spirit. And we will persevere. It may not be pleasant to go through that process, but I know people that have gone through the process, myself included, and you cannot break the bond, the covenant bond in Christ's blood. It cannot be broken. So my advice is to get with the program and praise the Lord. Give him all the glory. Life. And the question is, are we willing to enter into that kingdom today if we have not yet entered in? So we want to pray for that. And you know what? I have so much help here. And at the same time, opposition that I have to find that page. okay. But I've learned to persevere. And sometimes they say, good try, devil. Jesus Christ wins. All right. So let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we tell you, Lord Jesus, that we have sinned and we fall short of your glory. We have missed the mark. We have trespassed. We've crossed the line. We have transgressed. We have gone in the wrong direction. We have broken the covenant. We have broken the law. We have committed cosmic treason. We have not believed. And Lord, on and on and on. And we are in a sorry state of affairs because we cannot save ourselves. And Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that Mother Church doesn't save us and angels do not save us. And we're not saved because someone in our family or our heritage was saved and in our ancestry some great preacher lived. That won't save us. It's very individual. And Lord God, only Jesus Christ saves. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by and through him. So, Lord Jesus, I ask, Lord, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our iniquity, the bent of the heart towards evil. Forgive our cosmic treason and everything else that we have done. And also our whole lives, even all the good we have done doesn't measure up because we are finite. And Lord God, you are infinite. And Jesus Christ is the infinite God-man, the only mediator between God and human beings. And so, Lord God, we ask that for our sins to be forgiven. We ask that you grant us repentance, that we might recover ourselves from the snare of the devil who's holding us captive to do his will, that you might deliver us as we acknowledge the truth. Lord, grant us repentance to acknowledge the truth. And Lord God, grant us that we might believe in Jesus, believe Jesus, and believe what Jesus believes. Grant us grace to obey the good news of the gospel. And Lord, we ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, with your redemption and your peace, with your word, Lord God, with all that is you. And we ask that you would grant us that we would put into practice the principles that bring life. Lord, we ask for life. Because Jesus said he came to give us life and that more abundantly. In him is life. And Lord, I say that today I believe it. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to give us that eternal life that is in Christ Jesus. Grant us the grace and power to make the move into the kingdom of God. Lord, make that move. Lord, we can't do it. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Make the move and transfer us or translate us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And Lord, make us whole. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, and I say, go for it. Go for the light. Go for the light. Remember that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord over the curse, over sin, death, hell, and the grave. He is Lord over Satan and the world system. Jesus Christ is Lord. He has delivered us from the domain or the kingdom or the reign of darkness and transferred or translated us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. And now, if you'd please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. And I encourage everyone to keep focusing on the atoning work of Jesus Christ until that you know that you know that you know. That's just know it. Amen.